Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
Wonder if Jacob's gonna be on time.
See, I mean,
he's been on time for over a month now, so
I know. I hope he's not sick.
I don't care if he's sick or not, but I'm a terrible person, so
no, you would miss him.
Not really, because I know at some point I'm gonna have to deal with him again, so maybe if you told me, oh, he died, maybe I would miss him eventually.
Oh,
but mean. Him being sick, that, like, okay, so I don't have to deal with him for 1 week. Oh, woe is me? Like, no, I don't care.
Yeah, you do.
No, not really.
Secretly, I think you two are BFFs.
No, I don't hate him as much as chat sometimes might think I do, but we're not particularly friendly. Hello, Jacob. At least I assume that's Jacob.
Hi, Aki.
Yeah, of course it is.
I mean, that's probably the friendliest hello I'll get out of you in my lifetime, so you know, I'll
probably
take
actually.
Well, Jacob's just everybody? Playing along with the narrative. Jeez.
I gotta keep all of this because the timing of that conversation
was perfect. Yeah,
way too good to pass up. What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Aki, Bree, Jacob. How are you three doing?
Okay enough.
I'd rather be playing Disney Dreamlight Valley than being here.
Fair. Aki?
Can I go?
Yes, no. You can leave.
No.
I'm fine. I'm okay.
He has reviews to do. Don't tell him to leave.
No, I could go. It's nothing I have to say is of importance, as Aki will tell you. So I can go and play Disney Dreamlight Valley. It's okay.
I mean, it's what he wants to
play
do.
It
do
during
you really
the show,
want to get in the
you?
Way?
No, I can't. I'm upstairs. Xbox is downstairs, so. But,
gotcha. You know, yeah. I don't know your house layout, so I.
This is me going. I'm going away now. Bye!
Waiting for like a door to shut.
Away. You can't hear me anymore. I'm walking away. Oops. Oh yeah, that's my.
So you're still
steps.
Here, huh?
Yeah, still here.
Yeah. So how was everybody's week? Anybody do anything fun?
I beat Just Crow Things.
Nice.
Envious.
Yeah, I finally got through those races. They're kind of tough.
I didn't realize like who the dev was for it. And I loved Rain on Your Parade.
Obviously. What's not and, to love about that?
Yeah, and so like I didn't realize it was them and so like until after you had reviewed it. And I was just like, oh my god, no, I should have requested this game. And now I have to wait till it's on sale. It's a good
like,
story,
you don't
I know.
Get enough.
I'm a video game whore. Of course I don't get enough.
Rain on Your Parade's on sale right now on Xbox.
Well, yeah, but I own that. I
don't own it, actually.
Oh, what's no, you sale? Should own it. It's so good.
I should own it for different reasons that we won't discuss, but anyway.
I know the reason.
Yes, I know you know the reason.
What game are we talking about?
Rain on Your Parade.
Oh.
Yeah. And Just Crow Things.
Yes, and Just Crow Things.
There is a big sale on Xbox going on, though. A big ID at Xbox sale.
Yeah.
So, nice.
Coinciding with the end of summer sale. So there's like 1,000 things on sale right now. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody buy anything?
No.
Yes.
I bought the new Star Path in Disney Dreamlight Valley. I don't know if you're noticing a... trend here.
Oh my God, let's get to the news. Talk about Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Well, no, I mean, are we supposed to discuss, like, you know, what's coming?
Just
to
talk about the fucking game.
Tell actually us about Tiana.
So, all right. So if you are a free user on it, you can unlock Tiana from Princess and the Frog. And so it's a new character, and you also get her house. She opens a restaurant, which has all sorts of new ingredients and recipes. But also she unlocks a food stall too. So you can just grab meals on the go now. The big thing is, of course, the DLC, A Rift in Time, which just completed Act 3, and it sees the end of it. You can get Jafar as a new neighbor in there, and
he'd be a shitty neighbor.
Well, I mean, like, all of the villains kind of are, but really, I mean, all we have so far is, like, Scar and Ursula. So, I mean, like, you know, Jafar is like a new addition for it. But the thing I really want to talk about, and I don't know if I'm allowed to, because, you know, I mean, it just came out 2 days ago, or actually, no, yesterday. Oh, wow. Anyway, am I allowed to discuss spoilers?
No, I wouldn't.
Because, you know, so many people follow this podcast for the Disney Dreamlight Valley content.
Yeah, well, if someone does listen to it for Disney Dreamlight Valley content, it wouldn't be cool to just ruin it.
All right. So it's fine. Fine. I won't discuss that part. But anyway, so Act 3 wraps up really quickly. Like, you could beat it in like 2 hours, because it's really just a lot of running here and there and back and forth and talking to certain characters and stuff. And there's like a couple of puzzles. They're fine. But the big thing is that after the credits roll, we get a little teaser sequence, and it sequences as to who the big bad is for next year. And I'm really excited. Now, like, if you've been following all my ramblings about Disney Dreamlight Valley,
every single time
I talk about, like, those surveys that they filled out, the big bads are not a surprise, but it's still like, oh my God. Oh, so yeah. I'm excited. And there's also a new star path that's out right now, and you can unlock the Dapper Gator, which is a little gator who looks like he's out of a barbershop quartet, and it is so damn cute. And in the premium shop right now is the Footstool from Beauty and the Beast. So I'm just like, oh my God, it's so cute.
Okay.
What do you mean, Kay?
Okay. What more do you want from me?
I don't know. And also, cross-platform play is now supported on the PlayStation consoles. So, you know, there's that. So, you know, PlayStation people can also not visit me in my little valley. Yay! Thank you.
Are we ready to get to the actual news of the week?
That was actual news.
It went first. Of course it was. It went first.
Well, you know, thanks to whatever the fuck Jacob was talking about, because I didn't listen to any of it, I did manage to get through almost all of day one of GamesCon. So, you know, thank you, Jacob.
That's good, because it's time to talk about GamesCon.
Sorry. Sorry. Like, also, I forgot there was one other thing I wanted to discuss with Dreamlight Valley. They fixed an issue that's been going on. So pretty much almost everybody in the valley has like a sleep schedule. And so from, like, you know, there's usually like a 6-hour block per day that you're not able to talk to a certain character or whatever. And this would really screw up missions that you had to do, or just like little like quests so you can earn moonstones or whatever. And so now what they've done is that if it's during that period of time, you could still enter the character's home and they're just hanging out. And so they're not wandering around the valley, but they're still accessible to you. So that's a really big change, and it's really, really much needed. I was kind of surprised that they actually rolled that out. All right, Gamescom, I don't care. You know what? I hate everyone here except for Bree.
Thanks.
Fucking yeah!
Hey, I didn't do the cricket this time, okay? I was busy watching a video.
Yeah, it was me. I did it. I'll Man, do it again.
Thimber was like, just get over it already. Jeez.
Jacob starts talking and I'm like,
this piece of shit!
All right, talk about Gamescom.
They opened up opening night with a trailer for something that actually didn't leak, although we all knew it was coming. Borderlands 4 is coming 2025 from 2K and Gearbox.
Yay.
Yay. Ooh. Hopefully it's better than the movie.
I feel like announcing
that's
it
a pretty low bar.
Control.
I'm not going to lie. That trailer had better, like, it looked better than the movie. Like, yeah. In terms of actual, like, graphic, like, look and graphics and stuff like that, I was kind of what the crap about that, but.
Well, after that was a long video for Call of Duty Black Ops 6. Yay.
That's some gameplay. It's kind of cool. Yeah.
It's like a shooty, shooty, pew, pew game.
Yep.
After that, one of the high spots of the event.
Probably
Goat
my favorite
Sim
trailer.
Remastered coming this year, and it's been confirmed the Flappy Goat achievement is gone.
Yes.
What was the Flappy Goat achievement?
Flappy Birds.
Yeah, so it had a console, like a TV you could go to in one of the houses, or you could use an arcade machine down at the shore, the beach, whatever. And you had to play Flappy Goat. It was like the Flappy Bird game, but it was a goat with, like, you had to flap and get through these little ladders or whatever. And okay. It was really, really hard.
Well, I mean, so was Flappy Bird.
Right, but it was 10. Extra hard. Yeah, you only had to get to 10, and it was just so many. Fuck Flappy Bird. Flappy Goat.
Goodness, I don't think I've ever heard Bree say the F word.
Oh my gosh.
Like, this is giving her like nom flashbacks.
There's not a clip fun of achievement. Beating it. I spent an hour and a half just on stream. And wow. And people were trolling me the whole time where I couldn't swear, and I finally got it, and the swear button, like the swear timer had worn down at the same time. It was perfect.
I'm gonna need to see that clip.
Yeah, I'll have to send you a link.
Nice. Persona 3 Reload DLC will include Joker from Persona 5.
All right.
Yay. Dying Light the Beast was announced. 20-hour new open world region from Techland. I can't tell if it's a new game or an expansion.
It's a standalone.
It's an expansion, isn't it?
It's a standalone game, but it comes for free with the Ultimate Edition and then it's a standalone. I don't know what the price will be other than that.
Interesting.
Gotcha. Righty. They had a launch trailer for Black Myth Wukong, which has been blowing up the Steam charts.
Yeah, it's breaking records as the most wishlisted and played on Steam right now.
Like, what, 2.4 million people playing concurrently?
Although apparently a huge, huge number of that is just in China alone.
Yeah, I think I saw something that like 80% of Black Myth Wukong players are from China.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah. Makes you wonder how the game would do if you don't factor that in.
Yeah.
Mediocrely.
Yeah. Dragon Ball Sparking Zero got a new trailer. Yay. King of Meat, a 4-player co-op game hitting all platforms. The trailer featured a cartoon Jeff Keighley, which was kind of hilarious. It was a fun little trailer.
Yeah. It's like you create dungeons and then play them in co-op or something. It kind of reminded me of like the idea of Meet Your Maker, but it was much more cartoony.
Yeah. Well, it's going to hit everything, so we'll find out more about that in the future. Linked, Banner of the Spark from Fuzzybot Studio, an arcade-inspired co-op adventure that blends hack-and-slash combat with roguelike and town-building elements. hitting early access October 22nd.
And I liked the other description. You fight evil robots and take their parts to build the town and save the cute robots.
Another interesting looking one.
Yeah, it has a nice art style, at the very least.
After that, I'm guessing everybody's excited about this next one. Lost Records, yes. Bloom and Rage from Don't Nod Montreal. Very similar in presentation to the Life is Strange games. Tape 1 is coming February 18th. Tape 2, March 18th.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get this at some point.
Same.
Yeah, this one looks good. Tape 2's on my birthday, so yay. Torn yes. Banner is releasing No Room in Hell 2 for the PC.
8-player co-op.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
We could never organize that. Arc Raiders, playtest this fall, coming 2025, an action survival shooter.
Yeah. I don't trust the moment it said survival.
Yeah. After that was another fun one, Infinity Nikki, a bunch of weirdness and singing creatures. Currently
insane
slated,
cuteness.
Yeah, currently slated for PS5 and mobile.
That game looks so fucking cute. I want that so bad. Why can't it come to Xbox?
Hey, maybe it will in the future. Like something coming up in a little bit, but they had a new trailer for Space Marine 2. I can't wait for that one.
Yeah.
Looks so fucking nice. Looks so good. So good. Predecessor free to play on PC, PlayStation, Xbox, based on Paragon. That's out now.
Yep. It's a MOBA shooter.
Yeah, something I won't play, but...
Yeah, same.
Path of Exile 2, hitting early access November 15th.
Yay.
That should be good. Dune Awakening gameplay was shown off. Survival, base building, action, MMO. Early 2025, the PC coming to console afterwards. Or PlayStation 5 and Series X and S. This one looked great until it got to the base building, and then I kind of checked out.
Yeah.
Like, I just want an action MMO that has all those elements. I don't want a base build. I don't want survival elements. Like, I don't want to have to find water and drink stuff when I'm thirsty. I do that in real life. I don't know. I was excited about the next one. Genshin Impact. Finally coming to Xbox November 20th.
You missed one.
Did I?
Yep.
Which one?
Tarsier Studios Reanimal.
What's that one about? How did I miss that?
It's the creators of Little Nightmares and the first two one. And they have a new game coming out called Reanimal.
Ooh.
Looks very much in their same sort of style, but it's a new world. Looks very cool.
Yeah, I like that. I still need to play the second game.
The second one was good, too.
Monster Hunter Wilds is coming 2025. That one looks good. Monster Hunter, so. Blade Point Naraka getting a crossover with Tomb Raider August 28th.
Yeah, I didn't understand why, but that's cool.
Yeah, it's more fun for Blade Point Naraka.
Mm-hmm. So.
I should try that game again. I enjoyed what I played, but I just didn't play much because it's an online game. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it had a Gundam crossover even not too long ago.
These games are getting crazy crossovers now. Even that Stumble Guys game, like the Fall Guys knockoff, Stumble Guys has been getting like big name crossovers lately.
Yeah.
Like Pac-Man's in there, SpongeBob was in there. It's such a chintzy game too. Like, it's fun, but it is like, can we please have a second song in the game, Stumble Guys? Please, if anyone has played Stumble Guys, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I've
never played it.
Yeah,
I have better things to do with my time.
Now,
do you fire know?
It up
do
and, yes.
I don't believe that. You make Gunpla for fun. I don't believe you for a second.
Yeah, that's a much better use of my time.
Suspicious.
Fatal Fury City of the Wolves coming April 24th on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Hell yeah.
Very focused on the female fighters in the trailer.
Shocking.
Yeah. It was
sexy.
Very focused. Yeah, it was.
Fan servicey
is a better way to put it, yeah.
Mecha Break trailer for Series X and S and PC. Aki, are you excited about that one?
I am, but I don't know if I'll ever be able to play Mecha Break, because that has lasers galore all throughout
it. Yeah.
I wonder if I'll have accessibility settings to, like, tone down the flashing.
Hopefully, because otherwise I can't even watch the trailers for that on Steam. I can't even watch because there's too much of it on there.
Oh, okay. All right. See, this is where listening for context is important, because I tuned out and then you were like, oh, there's so much flashing in the trailer. I was like, is this going to be interesting?
We got excited for 3 seconds.
Yeah. And then, you know, Aki said, like, I can't even watch it. And I was like, well, it's either too much boobs or too much flashing of lights. So
yeah, if Aki can't handle it. There's no such thing as too much boobs.
If Aki can't handle that much boobage, then I probably couldn't either. So.
Oh, Lord. Monument Valley series coming to Netflix games, with Monument Valley 3 being a Netflix exclusive in December.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay.
Netflix.
I don't know what that is, so I don't know if that's a loss for me. Also
platformers, yeah. It's just nets on Netflix.
Okay.
Why? I don't understand the point of Netflix games. I really don't.
I mean, I kind of get it.
I can't access them on my Xbox, though. Like, what's the point of games if I can't access them on a console?
And that's the thing, like, because, like, I get it, because it's something that, like, my kids would be like, oh, well, I can't watch TV, but I can play this on my tablet or something. So, I mean, I get that, but, like, for me, Netflix is, like, so ingrained as, like, that is only a thing I watch. I do not interact with it other than to tell it to shut up. And yeah. I'm trying to binge Cobra Kai right now. yeah, like...
Fair. So I hate those.
So I don't ever assume... Like, I don't ever associate it with games. Like, I don't know. I hope that they eventually release some of this stuff, like, elsewhere, because it's just money that they're missing out on. I'm never going to spend more on Netflix because I get it for free through T-Mobile, so no skin off my back. That's just money that they ain't making off me.
Anyway, Civilization 7 had some gameplay showed off. That's coming out February 11th,
and they revealed their new narrator just after the show. It's Gwendolyn Christie.
Oh,
so that was pretty cool. Awesome. Yeah.
Brienne of Tarth, if people don't recognize the name.
From Game of Thrones. She was also in Star Wars.
I love her. She's awesome.
She is awesome.
Starfield getting a vehicle to drive around planets on. It's out that night. Yay. Vroom, vroom. Shattered Space coming November 30th. And then it wasn't announced, but I'm just going to guess the fucking PS5 version's out next year. So... Marvel Rivals getting a Captain America and the Winter Soldier. It's going to launch December 6th, and all characters will be free to play.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. Gamescom Sustainability Award went to Tencent Games.
I didn't even write that down.
Yep. And then Tim Miller came out announcing the TV series Secret Level on Amazon starting December 10th. Each episode is based on a different game, and the games included are Armored Core, Concord of all fucking things, Crossfire, Dungeons & Dragons, Exodus, Honor of Kings, Mega Man, New World, Eternum, because it's Amazon, of course they have to do that, Pac-Man, PlayStation as a whole, Sifu, Splunky, The Outer Worlds, Unreal Tournament, and Warhammer 40K.
So yeah, it's an anthology of animations, like the cinematics you get for game trailers and stuff. It's looks really cool.
Yeah, I wonder about some of the choices, like why Concord already? Why does that deserve one by itself even? New World Eternum, it's not even out yet for console. just, it seems early for that, but it's an Amazon one. I wonder what they're going to do with Splunky. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to check these out. It sounds interesting.
Hell yeah.
Age of Mythology retold coming September 4th.
And on Game Pass.
Yep. Towerborn trailer will now be a free-to-play game. Hitting Steam Early Access September 10th on PC. Will later hit game preview on console. And in 2025, we'll have a full release.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what that game is all about.
Action RPG, I think. Hack and slash. I don't know. It looks good, but I haven't followed the story that much.
Gotcha.
Delta Force from Team Jade coming early quarter four. Or early access in Q4. Jacob, any thoughts on Delta Force?
I love me some Chuck Norris, so I'm excited. Unless it's absolutely nothing to do with Chuck Norris, in which case, fuck that game.
Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 coming February 11th.
Nice.
Looks good.
Civilization is also February 11th. That's a busy day. Then they had some shit on Zenless Zone Zero I didn't pay attention to. Then they had some stuff on Honkai Star Rail I didn't pay attention to.
I was so lost on everything that they were saying during that section. It's not even that I wasn't paying attention. I was just completely confused on this Hoyoverse stuff that they were trying to explain. It was very confusing.
Yeah, I don't get how they're all connected.
Yeah.
But we'll find out with Genshin releasing on Xbox finally this fall.
Yeah.
We'll get our first taste of the Hoyoverse. After that was something on Batman Arkham Shadow, which I was excited about. So they said it was a MetaQuest 3 VR exclusive in October. Yeah. And I was like, oh, never mind. Little Nightmares 3 got a
graphics.
So what was that?
Made sense. Oh, I thought there was something off about the graphics. And then when they announced the VR, I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Just nothing in VR looks right yet. It always has like that uncanny valley look.
Yeah.
I don't know. After that was Little Nightmares 3 trailer.
Yay. I want it.
Are the excite.
Yes. I mean, it's weird because it's a new company doing it, but I like that world and I want to see what the new company's doing with it.
Hopefully they don't fuck it up.
It looked cute. I mean, we'll see.
Who are the devs on this one? Supermassive?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure. I think
it's in good hands.
Yeah.
Supermassive's pretty good, so. Game after that was Herdling from the creators of Far Changing Tides and the publishers of Firewatch. It's coming 2025.
Nifty.
Oh, to answer Thimber, Tarsier decided they were done doing Little Nightmares, and the publisher, I guess, and other people didn't want the series to die, so they found a new developer.
Hey, we're learning stuff. Next up, Peter Molyneux joined the stage for Masters of Albion World Premiere. It is city building and town management, and then you take control of the characters in third-party action scenes. You could switch between human and god mode in real time, and so far only Steam is announced.
Yep.
But are we going to be able to plant a seed and watch a tree grow real time?
I don't know, but you can...
That joke is never made. God.
Yeah, I know it isn't. It's literally the only thing I know about him is that shit.
Squid Game Unleashed coming to Netflix games. So mobile sometimes and Netflix.
Sometimes you play, sometimes you die. Something like that. Yeah.
Unknown 9 Awakening coming out October 18th to Xbox, PlayStation, and PC.
I'm fucking hyped.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I've wanted that game since its first promotional trailer fucking years and years and years ago. And every trailer has just made me want it just that little bit more.
All right.
So I'm very looking forward to that game.
Nice. Next up was Arena Breakout Infinite getting full release for the end of the year. A lot of excitement on that.
Yeah.
Blizzard segment, Overwatch 2 and World of Warcraft skins are happening. Because that's a crossover that's weird. And then Diablo trailer showcasing mercenaries in the new DLC coming out October 8th. Multiplayer co-op PvE dungeons coming in the expansion as well. If you want more DeBurbler, there you go. I will probably be getting that because I love my DeBurblers. The first Berserker Kazan trailer, hack and slash action RPG coming early 25 to PS5 series and PC.
That game looks kind of interesting to me.
I want to see more on it.
Yeah.
It has my interest. And after that was Ara History Untold, hitting September 24th, PC Game Pass. After that was
Civilization style game.
Yeah, I don't care about those games. I'm sorry. I know they have a fan base, but I'm not part of it. City That's building fair. Just doesn't do it for me. Dark and Darker Mobile, blah, blah. Floatopia, a cute life sim, city and island builder, hitting PlayStation 5, Switch, Xbox, and PC in 2025.
Looks like it's kind of Animal Crossing-like. You could play it with friends. It's kind of cute.
Yeah. It did look very Animal Crossing-like, so we'll see how much building is actually in there. Like, it looked cute as hell, and then they started, like, redoing the terrain, and I'm like, why? I was so interested, and then that happened. I don't want God mode. I just want to have a fucking life sim, like Animal Crossing on Xbox. I just want to catch fish and bugs. finally, they showed Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. Finally got a release date of December 9th on Xbox Series and Steam. Day one Game Pass Ultimate. Oh yeah, and it's releasing on PS5 in the spring.
I am very much looking forward to that game. It looks like it has the right comedy. So I'm very excited for it.
I question their timing on the announcement of a PS5 version. Why announce it before the Xbox version releases? You just killed your own sales. People are going to skip out on it to buy it on PS5 instead.
Yeah, possibly. But, the important part is they're a game publisher and they're publishing a game wherever it's going to make money.
Yeah.
Like, look at Sea of Thieves, just sold over 1 million copies now on PlayStation 5. That's not chump change.
I mean, not at all. That's the thing. When it's Xbox versus Xbox, guess who wins? Xbox. Doesn't matter if it's on their own console or if it's on Sony anymore. It's a sale for them.
What is Xbox doing for Xbox gamers to pacify them when all they've been doing lately is helping PlayStation gamers get more games? Like, hello, your own
increasing console the price shit. Of Game Pass.
God damn it, I was gonna make that joke.
Like, Avowed got delayed, Towerborn got delayed. Indiana Jones is releasing on PS5 4 months after Xbox. Xbox renegotiated the contract to exclude a PS5 version, and then they released it anyway. What was the fucking point?
Their budget, probably.
To waste money.
Like, I all of Xbox's decisions are confusing the hell out of me. Like, if they want to go multi-platform, fine, do it, whatever. But don't forget about your own console. Don't forget about your own gamers. And it seems like they kind of are.
Honestly, I feel like the Xbox leadership is just fucking floundering, and have been for a while, and it's just getting worse. I don't think they understand exactly what they're doing half the time. And when things go good, it's luck.
I think Phil Spencer had a vision for securing all these new exclusives for Xbox, and Microsoft is like, no, you need to make us more money. So I think it's not Phil Spencer's decision. I saw someone tweeted out a picture that, like, Phil Spencer was just, like, stone-faced at the PS5 announcement. Like, I wonder if this is stuff that he actually wants to do, or if he's being forced into it.
Could be.
Like, I don't care where the games release, as long as they release on Xbox.
Yeah.
Release them everywhere. I don't give a shit. I hate exclusives. Bring Square's games over. Bring Nissa's games over. Bring Axis's games over. Like, release everything everywhere. Exclusivity sucks, but be clear about what you're doing. Don't tell your consumers one thing for months on end and then just blatantly lie about it. Like, Phil Spencer clearly said Indiana Jones was not going to be a game going to PS5.
And it's a game going to PS5. He said it wasn't going to be one of the first four that they were sending over, was specifically what he said.
I don't know. I think... Does anyone else have thoughts on it? Because I feel like I'm just rambling.
Hey, ramble all you want. It's fine.
I mean... It is your podcast, and it is your thoughts. I mean, we're just here to, you know,
it's our banter. Podcast.
Our podcast.
Excellent. No, you can't be replaced. All of us can.
I really can be replaced easily.
Yes, I mean, really. With that, think about it. Do you want to be the one who takes this over when he stops doing it?
I don't know. I don't want to, like, I'm not going to voluntarily talk to you.
See, you don't want to take over. I don't want to take over. No one wants to take over. That's the problem. So, I mean, no, on, Joe on, is very irreplaceable.
You're speaking for Bree there. Bree, do you want to take over?
No.
See? Oh,
damn it. So I have to take over? Damn it. All right.
Okay, I guess I'm not quitting the show anytime soon. God damn it.
Yeah, you're not allowed.
Yay!
Yeah, you're not allowed to quit. Otherwise, you know what happens if I start running it?
What? It gets run into the ground?
Yay! Run into the ground. More like you find bedrock.
You'll go past the bedrock, I promise.
We'll end up in China.
I just imagine, like, the first day you're late. There's a floating bag of poop on fire on your doorstep that you got to put out, like, and that's how the show starts.
That's, I mean, that's
turns out he himself crapped in that bag and lit it on fire.
See, and that's why he was late going. In the first part.
Whatever. It's like,
welcome to the Flaming Bag of Shit podcast. I am your host, hey. Jacob. Today's topic is...
Yeah, this would be very quickly, all this show would end up being is just Dreamlight Valley. That's, and maybe Sonic and News.
I was going to say,
and Sonic movie news.
Movie news, though. Yeah. Not game, just movies.
Speaking of news, there was one more thing at the end of Gamescom. Mafia, the Old Country's coming this December for PS5, yeah. Series X and S, and PC.
Nifty.
Yeah.
That game is basically the embodiment of...
Surprise, motherfucker!
Yeah.
Because no one knew it was coming. And surprise, end of the year.
Besides opening night live, there's a couple other things that I picked up that were announced throughout the week, if you don't mind me throwing down some stuff.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, Sniper Elite Resistance is going to be coming out 2025, day one Game Pass.
I can't fucking wait. I am so excited.
Revenge of the Savage Planet, releasing sometime in 2025. It features crossplay in addition to online co-op and local split screen.
Very nice.
So is that just an add to the game or
sequel?
A sequel to Journey to the Savage Planet. And it features New Florida in the trailer. It was pretty cool. I'm excited about that one. Lost in Random is getting a sequel, The Eternal Die. And that's also coming to Game Pass 2025.
Very nice.
And Void Train Open World Survival, also Game Pass 2025. But yeah, those are the other Gamescom, ones that came out through the Xbox shows throughout the week that I saw.
Very cool. Speaking of Game Pass, we got some new games.
All right.
And not many. There were only three. August 22nd. So today we just got Atlas Fallen.
Very nice.
August 27th, we're getting Core Keeper.
I don't know that game.
Me neither. And then September 3rd, Star Trucker.
I can't see that name and not hear Starfuckers in my head.
I know.
So it's just
Star Truckers Incorporated.
Yep. Pretty much where I've been at.
Nice. A little bonus, if you're a Game Pass member, you also get into the Call of Duty beta.
Meh.
Oh, yay. Game Pass Core getting 3 new games on August 21st. So 3 new games joined the Core lineup with City Skylines, Control Ultimate Edition, and SnowRunner.
Nice.
Nice. Control is a fantastic game.
I need to finish it.
You are only a base Core member of Game Pass. You got some more games to play. And then at the end of the month, 3 games are leaving the service. So 3 in, 3 out. 3's all around. NBA 2K24 is leaving Series and Xbox One. Guilty Gear Strive and Atomic Heart. The 3 big ones leaving.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Speaking of things leaving services, the latest lineup of PS Plus extra games leaving September 17th have been announced. There's a lot. Oof. First up, Injury just dropped a giant, a wet pancake for a few biddies. So thank you, Injury, for the biddies. That is a big pancake. I like that, what that Twitch is doing with the giant emotes.
That butter doesn't look natural on there. Like, that is a thick slap of butter.
It is.
It's worryingly, like, thick. Like, anyway.
Just cut into that and just... Argh.
Oh, God, I don't know, man. That's too much butter. Like, that's too much butter for me. That's like
spread it out. There's 3 layers there. There's layers, man.
Yeah, I know, but like,
you get
like
a butter pat. All of them.
Yeah, but that's why you get a butter pat for like each layer, man. Like, you don't. That's too much. That's too much.
I guess I'm a heathen. I don't put butter on my pancakes at all.
What? Are you serious? How do you not put butter on your pancakes? I knew you were a fucking psycho. I fucking knew it. Now we got proof.
Injury with another giant emote. The blank emote.
And it was funny, and I was laughing too.
I love my blank emote. No one else I've seen has a blank emote. And it just fucks with people, and I love it. Because you'll enter a stream, you'll just do one blank emote, and everyone's like, did you post a, like, is your GIF broken? Is your message broken? Like, what's going on, man?
Yeah.
Nope, it's just a blank image. Oh, man.
All right.
So, yeah.
Hold on.
Are we going back to the butter thing?
Yeah, because now I need to ask Skaki, what about waffles?
I don't put butter on anything.
Do you have something against butter?
Hold on, Brie. We'll get to there. What about French toast?
Nope.
Ugh, what in the hell? All right, Brie, ask your question.
I put syrup on this stuff, and that's it.
But do you like butter?
Not really.
Do you eat garlic bread?
Yes.
Okay, so you can eat things with butter on it. Okay.
Yeah, I just don't particularly like butter.
What about buttered popcorn?
No, not really.
Oh, man.
I eat plain popcorn. When
I
was a kid,
I ate a whole stick of butter. I was like a real
God.
I was stuck in a high chair and I was bored and the only thing I could reach was the butter. And apparently I just ate the whole stick of butter.
Oh God, I don't want to think about that. No, diaper.
Butter's great. Yeah, that was probably awful.
Oh, that's so horrific.
You should call it. God, yeah, no.
Just a spoonful of butter helps the medicine go down.
No, that's not the song. That's
yeah, it is a spoonful of butter. It's delicious.
No,
yeah.
So anyway, games leaving PlayStation Plus extra tier September 17th. The first game is the one that's drawing questions. Horizon Forbidden West. It's a first party game. Why is it leaving?
Oh yeah, that's weird.
I never understand that with either group, be it Sony and their stuff or Xbox and theirs. I don't understand why first party stuff ever leaves this stuff. That should always stay. Yeah. What the fuck?
No, Xbox doesn't really remove their first party stuff unless it's something getting delisted.
Didn't they just remove something like a month or two ago that was first party? And you brought up the fact that that was weird because it was first party?
The only thing first party I could think of is Forza. And that's leaving because it's getting delisted.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, other games leaving: Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, Marvel Midnight Suns, Alien Isolation, Nier Replicant, Spiritfarer, Cloudpunk, and then Star Ocean, The Divine Force, Integrity and Faithlessness, Till the End of Time, The Last Hope, and First Departure R. All five that's leaving PS Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks. That's a whole ton of games that are fucking awesome leaving. Yeah. Holy shit. What the hell's still on there?
A lot of games.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a pretty hefty catalog. Bully has been rated for the Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC in Taiwan. A lot of people think it's related to the game joining GTA Plus, except the fact that GTA Plus isn't available on Xbox One and PS4, so that doesn't account for it being rated for those platforms. I think we're going to see a remaster.
That'd be interesting. I never played that, but I've only heard good things about it, so that could be interesting.
We'll find out. Gothic 3 Classic has been rated for the Switch, PS4, and Xbox One by the ESRB.
Nice.
I'm excited about that one. I like the Gothic games.
Never played one.
They're fun. Arcania Gothic 4 was on 360, and it's not backward compatible, which makes me angry. But it was fun. I had a good time with it. The Until Dawn remake is launching October 4th. With a full $60 price tag on PS5 and PC. Yeah. Final Fantasy 16 has an official release date of September 17th for PC.
Nice.
Still no word on Xbox. A lot of people thought we'd hear at Gamescom. Nothing.
Nothing yet.
Nope. Last
bit of news. I don't think it's coming to Xbox. I think
16's going to show up. I think it will.
I have no faith in Square bringing it to us at all.
That's fair.
Like, it's only been, 4 years since Final Fantasy VII Rebirth or Remake? And that was a year of exclusivity? I don't think 16's coming. I think we're fucked.
I don't think we're seeing 7 until the whole trilogy is out, but I think 16's going to show up.
By the time the whole trilogy is out, we're going to be on the next fucking console, and it's never coming to Xbox.
We're
going to
be three consoles away, I'm sure. For how slow they've been moving.
I think we'll all be dead by then.
We might.
I didn't the expect us to be universe. Alive now.
That's fair.
What a time we're living in.
Anyway, last bit of news I have. Animal Crossing Pocket Camp ending service November 28th. And they are apparently working on an offline version.
Well, that's nice. I'm glad they're working on an offline version for people. That's
yeah.
Lots of companies would just say, well, it's off. Fuck you guys. We got our money. We're good now. So that's really cool of them.
It wasn't a bad game either. It's just I had other crap taking up my time. And
like Dreamlight Valley?
No. I played Pocket Camp when it first came out. It was
when
just,
did it come out? I know nothing about this game.
It's honestly been out for a long time. Like I want to say like 8 or 9 years.
Oh wow, that thing's been around
A
real long time. Holy
shit. It's a fine title. It's just, as I said, other stuff ended up taking up my time. So I just never got back to it. It's not bad. So I'd honestly pick up the offline version.
Release 2017 is when it came out.
Really?
Oh, yep. Wow.
Oh, wait. Okay. So that is like, all right. That's like 7 years ago. Okay.
Yep. But yeah, that's the news I have. Aki, any news?
God, no.
Bree, any more news?
I have one more piece of news. Does anybody remember Backyard Sports from the late 90s, early 2000s?
Hell yep. Yeah.
Well, they're coming back.
Hell yeah.
Return of the franchise. So there you go.
That's awesome.
The original
release,
it was Backyard Baseball, was in 1997. They had soccer, basketball, football, and hockey games. They have released some information that they're reviving the franchise. Backyard Sports.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Jacob, what news do you have?
Wait, that aren't.
Yeah, I'm done.
Doesn't Aki have anything?
No, I asked her already.
No.
Oh, I didn't realize he had. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm always the first one asked.
Okay.
Yeah, because Aki, then Bree, then you. Because you usually have the movie news. Too.
That's true, but anywho. So Atari is bringing back another retro console. They're going to do the 7800 Plus. which will be able to play 2600 and 7800 game cartridges. And it has HDMI connectivity, and it will come out this winter. If you get it, I think you also get like a free game. Bentley Bears Crystal Quest.
Interesting.
Which is going to be a sequel to Crystal Castles. Ubisoft had another round of layoffs. And the former team behind the Division Heartland has been restructured.
That's never good.
And movie news. Borderlands is coming out on August 30th digitally, in case you were too embarrassed to go see it in theaters. You can now watch it from the privacy of your own home if you don't feel like pirating it. Which we don't suggest, because we would never suggest such a thing.
Listen here, fuck snort.
All right, maybe Joe would. I don't know, but I certainly would not.
I would not condone that on this naughty thing to do.
I would not, only because Joe would get upset with me if I did.
I only pirated in Sea of Thieves. Yar.
Yar. All right, what other news? Let's move. Come on. What else? What else?
Last bit of news I have is that Sega's old fighting game Eternal Champions is going to be getting a movie. Writer of the Jurassic World trilogy, Derek Connolly, is set to write the screenplay, and they also said Connolly also helped write Detective Pikachu. So
that was a good movie. I actually really liked Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, Detective Pikachu was it was surprisingly solid. I don't know how they're ever going to make any other kind of Pokemon movie, but I'm glad that they did that one. So, yeah, but that's all the news I got.
Cool. Should we move on to reviews?
Sure.
Is there anything else anyone to discuss?
I already talked about Disney Dreamlight Valley, so...
Yes, we know.
I'll shut up for the rest of the podcast. I got something.
Did you know that it costs over $100,000 to put a trailer on Gamescom?
Jeez. I did see that headline.
So it's, I think that the great thing about the Twitter games feed is that people are saying, hey, it costs this much to put a trailer up. So here's, you know, gifts of my new game. Here's trailers of my new game. And so the whole indie community has kind of come together under that tag, and I've been seeing lots of cool new games coming out. So that's awesome.
Anything catch your eye? Anything specific?
Not off the top of my head, but I just thought that was a cool thing. If you're paying attention to gaming Twitter, that's something to look out for. People are kind of, banding under that tag.
Very cool. Twitter.
I know.
I'll never call it whatever. reviews. Let's get to these. First game to talk about tonight is Green Hell, developed and published by Creepy Jar, released August 14th on Series X and S and PS5 for $24.99. Green Hell is a sweltering struggle for survival in the Amazonian rainforest. Clinging to life, the player is set on a journey of durability as the effects of solitude wear heavy not only on the body but also the mind. How long can you survive against the dangers of the unknown? Bree, what is Green Hell?
Well, first I'm going to tell you a story. It's a funny story about my first time playing the original game on Xbox One. So I bypassed a whole bunch of story by accident because it just so happens that I have the equivalent of an ethnobotany degree with a focus in neotropical plants like, the rainforest. And I'm walking around the Amazon in this game, and I see labels of the species of plants. And I walk around, and I see a Banisteriopsis vines. And I ask my game partner if he sees any Psychotria viridis shrubs to bring some to me. And he finds some and complies. And near the main camp area, there's this mixing stand. And so I mix the two plants together because I happen to know that they mix to make ayahuasca, a powerful psychedelic drug. And then this crazy cutscene starts. And my partner's kind of freaking out, like, what did you do? And it turns out there were some kind of clues that would have totally eventually led us there to the story. But I just bypassed it all because, you know, I have this knowledge. And yeah, we didn't even have a reasonable base set up, and I just made the game that much harder. So, yeah.
Wow. I approve so much.
So, I'm not normally a huge survival crafting person, but I was drawn to this because of my time in the rainforest, and I was curious how accurate it was. And I can say this game has a lot of research put into it. I can walk around the game and notice real plants you can find in the rainforest and not just a bunch of random fake plants that they made for a game. And the way you use things makes sense. Survival elements are some of the most realistic I've seen in a game like this. This is not the game you play to unwind and relax, unless you do. It can be a bit grueling, especially if you're not a huge survival crafter sort of person, and there's a bit of a learning curve. First step is figuring out how the game wants you to do things. The tutorial is really helpful for that. You have a journal that records things you discover, so you don't have to remember all the details. And to create something like a fire, you just click on the picture in your notebook, and then you place the structure where you want it, and then you fill in the materials for the blueprint, add a spark, and you're good to go. Simple, right? Except you don't have any matches or lighter, so you're going to have to create a hand drill to make friction and some sort of tinder like a bird's nest to light it with a spark. And I mention all this to explain the level of detail in the game as well. Now you have a fire and you can cook some food, which is important because everything needs to be cooked. Your water needs to be boiled. You need to make fire. Big important first step. You have a very well-organized backpack of supplies. You can fill and refill as you go along. You've got limited space, so you got to manage that. The story of the game, you're Jake, an anthropologist. Your partner Mia is meeting the Yabawaka tribe in the rainforest. It's your birthday, and Mia gifts you a fancy watch to monitor your vitals, which you'll need a lot in the game. It also tells you the time of day. It has a compass on it. You're going to need that a lot, too. She's gone off to meet with the tribe without you because they don't seem to like you. So you go off to play ethnobotanist for a little bit, identify some local useful plants for medicine, for crafting. First, we need to go find some tobacco in case we get bit by a snake. We fall and injure ourselves. We have to learn how to make a bandage. Day 32 rolls around. Mia calls on the radio in a panic. We go out to find her. We get chased and lost in the rainforest away from our well-supplied camp. We have to figure out how to survive without tools and nutritious foods. And of course, we have to follow the clues until we find out what happened to Mia, sometimes tripping on drugs to do so. And there are actually two endings to the story.
Do they involve you tripping on balls the whole time?
On ayahuasca. There's several times where you totally need to take ayahuasca to, yeah. That's a thing. So you can play this game solo or with up to four people in multiplayer. You can join or host. I was able to join some public games and it worked great, which is good because in the Xbox One version, I had sometimes had some issues. They seem to have resolved those. I actually downloaded the Xbox One version as well and kind of played a little bit of both side by side so that I could see things and how they looked different. If you
Norg play solo, says, holy crap, this game sounds like Don't Starve on six cocaines.
That's fair. But yeah, if you play solo, you can play the story mode, including a prequel story called The Spirits of Amazonia, which is, I think, like 20 hours by itself. I haven't even delved into that one yet. It has an endless survival mode and challenges. But yeah, this game is open world survival. You have to use realistic survival techniques. You're probably going to spend a lot of time getting lost, not making it back to your camp before dark, getting bit by something, and dying before you get the hang of it.
Yay.
It's a huge part of the game, and it feels good when you figure things out. You not only have to be concerned about your physical well-being, but your mental health and sanity. Some of that comes down to getting adequate rest, nutrition, and shelter. Duh. You need to learn to craft tools, build shelters, and defenses to survive. Here's a short list of possible ways you can die, just so you know. Hydration, waterborne illness, parasites, starvation, eating spoiled or undercooked food or the wrong mushroom, caimans, snakes, crabs, jaguars, native soldiers, wasps, poison dart frogs, your own traps, falling while running, the opportunities are endless, try some combos. But seriously, the game is great.
Try some combos.
I have had some very stupid deaths.
Well, I was fucked up on mushrooms and I tripped and fell in my own trap. Here I am,
yeah, pretty dying, much. I was running from that jaguar and yeah, I was dehydrated and I drank the water because, and now I've got parasites. Yeah, no. But talking about the XS version in particular, because that's what's new here. The game is as beautiful as it is deadly. Graphics got a little boost, textures and lighting were improved, load times were reduced. It includes the updates, animal husbandry, the building update, storage and transportation, fortifications, and Flamekeeper, which is like a horde mode. So, yeah, if you like survival games or you've been curious to try this one, it's an excellent one to try. And I think it's even on launch sale right now, which is a pretty good price. So
I don't see a launch sale for
it. It's not still on launch sale? Okay.
It's possible it might be an entitlement discount, where if you own the original, you get a discount on the new one.
That could be.
But I don't own the original to check that myself.
That's fair.
Yeah. Can you check the store now? Does it show a price for you?
Let me see. I check without my account.
Or if you just check the gift price on your account. See what it pops up as, because I'm looking at it now and it just says $24.99.
When I'm pulling it up, not on my account, it's saying it's got a discount of $5 off. So I don't
interesting
know. Interesting. The sale ends in 6 days. I don't know.
I have the wrong one pulled up.
Could be.
I probably do. I'm good at
either
this.
Way. $24.99 is a really good price. And if you're interested in it now and you want to get on a launch sale, that's a very good price.
Yep, there it is. It's $5 off. Ends in 6 days. Yay, I had the wrong page pulled up. It's $24.99. Your official verdict.
Buy it.
Cool. All right, next game, Murder is Game Over, Streaming Death, developed by Hither Yon Games and Meridian 4, published by Rattle Lake Games, released August 16th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $4.99. Join Detective Guy and his trusty sidekick Cleo, the clue-sniffing dog, as they investigate the mysterious death of a social media starlet in an isolated seaside village. As you explore the surrounding coastline, search for clues and interview suspects, can you solve the case and bring the guilty party to justice? Bree and Aki, both of you played this. Bree, how about you start off? What is Murder is Game Over, Streaming Death?
So, I love the original game, Murder is Game Over, right, and now? I was what?
Does Joe sound like he's auto-tuning right now, or do I have a bad connection?
I think you
have
a bad
connection.
Crap, yeah, because you were getting kind of crackly before earlier, so.
Great.
All right.
Yay.
So, I love the original game, and I was really excited to hear that another game in the series was coming to consoles. This one takes place in the Massachusetts coast in the town of Cape Crescent. Their historical society is having a meeting in the beginning, and they're visiting them from the big city is Pearl Brayshaw, the streamer who focuses on paranormal mysteries when she isn't gaming. Pearl moved out to the small city or a small town with her best friend after she was doxxed and the picture of her and her boyfriend was posted online. Oh, no. Nearby Cape Crescent, there is a lost settlement, an abandoned Puritan village from colonial times that's supposedly haunted and cursed. And during the meeting, they see the ghost of Elias Abel outside the window from the witch trials. Spooky! And by morning, Pearl is dead. The next day, Detective Guy and his clue-sniffing dog Cleo are called into the case. A local detective, who is bumbling just like he was in the first one, claims to have solved the case and tries to send us home. He serves as a kind of tutorial on the game. We can ask him some basic questions on the case and get the rundown for the controls of the game. And he believes that e-girl Pearl hung herself, but we know better. You can switch between Guy and Cleo. Cleo can sniff clues marked on the map by a question mark. Cleo can't talk to people, so you need to switch between both characters regularly to find all the clues. And of course, you feed Cleo a treat when she finds you a clue because she's a good dog. Graphics
also
wise,
good. Real quick, also good. Trash Rando just subbed.
What?
So thank you, Trash Rando. Enjoy the emotes. Enjoy all the goodies. And thank you for your support.
But yeah, graphics wise, you have some 16-bit RPG look to the game. You wander through different areas searching for clues and talking with suspects. Different areas open up after you've reached certain points in the case. We get to ask each of the suspects a number of questions about their identity, their connection to the victim, the ghost, their alibi, and their suspicions about what's really going on. And at a certain point in the story, you start getting chased by the ghosts of Elias Abel, which is a new mechanic from the first game. And if you get caught, your game is over. The ghost chases got annoying fast, but I was also playing on hard because I thought I needed to for an achievement. You have to save often because, at least on hard, the ghost is really hard to dodge sometimes. You do get an audio cue before he shows up most of the time, thankfully. And you'll need to do a lot of your sleuthing via flashlight because that part of the game happens at night. You need to re-question a lot of suspects, find the last clues you need to solve the case, and go into the lost settlement to find the whole story. Like in the previous game, there's also doggy bags hidden all over. If you find them all before you solve the case, you get the best endings for Cleo. The game also has a secret extra treasure you can go on a little hunt for. There's a riddle to solve, and then your best ending finds all the collectibles, which is super cute. I don't want to spoil it. Some of the collectibles are locked to certain times of day, so you really have to be thorough as you progress. But this one felt a little more like a Scooby-Doo mystery. Yeah, it was a little shorter than the original, and I totally guessed the killer right from the start, but I had a fun time finding all the clues to prove it.
Ooh, Aki, your thoughts?
I thought it was a pretty good, cute little game. I ended up finally finishing it today. And yeah, I'm right up there with Bree. I knew who the bad person was immediately. It was very obvious. Very obvious. I didn't realize this was part of a series of games even. So it wasn't bad. I enjoyed my time with it. It was a fine little game.
Oh, it only clocks in at $5, so what do you think?
Yes, buy it.
Yeah, might as well. Fuck it, why not? It's cheap enough. Good.
Sounds good to me. All right, Bree, that is it for you. We will let you go so you can hit the high seas.
All right.
Yar.
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 You totally knew I was going to sail.
Yar.
Am I that predictable?
No, you sail on Thursdays. So.
I know. I usually do sailing on Thursdays. That's a thing. It's a thing.
You need to do variety stuff on Thursday so you have some like a different answer every week.
Well, she could be on land.
Happens be on to land. Be oh, like
what are you playing on Friday this week?
What am I playing on Friday?
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you what I'm playing on Friday. Hold on, let me scroll down my notes. Tomorrow I am playing Mangavania 2.
Ooh.
A platformer. I'm playing Lunar Axe, a point-and-click adventure. And Cat and Ghostly Road, another point-and-click adventure.
Ooh. Very nice. So you have a fun lineup tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Well, do you have any final words tonight before we let you go?
My neck is cold. I have an ice pack on.
Oh.
Oh.
That makes
sense. I was going to suggest wearing a turtleneck.
But that's all I got to say. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
See you later.
See ya.
Please.
Next game to talk about, Parking Masters, developed and published by what? Last Man... What?
I didn't think that was next.
Oh, what dang, did you think was is. Next?
I thought White Day 2 was next, but I see I read the schedule wrong. Continue.
Next game to talk about is Parking Masters, developed and published by Last Man Gaming, released August 21st on Xbox One, Series X and S for $12.99. Welcome to Parking Masters, where you'll face the ultimate test of your parking skills in a variety of challenges. Maneuver vehicles through numerous levels, all designed with realistic physics and a captivating visual style. Jacob, what is Parking Masters?
So Parking Masters is pretty much what if you combined... I don't know. Forza is really the only thing that comes to mind. Combine Forza with like, remember that driving simulator game that like driver's ed simulator game that we've reviewed years and years ago?
Yeah.
It's like that, except you're going to be stuck in a parking lot. And this time you're just navigating all of these cones. And if you hit any of the cones, you automatically fail, and later levels will have you like just like snaking all throughout the parking lot, and you can't go too fast, you can't go too slow, and so you're going to be doing a bunch of these puzzles over and over again, and then it'll introduce having actual cars in there, and so you have to be sure that you're not hitting the car, And then you have to like start, like the puzzles start getting weirder and harder. Like the only way you complete it is if you park in a certain way, and then it introduces the reversing mechanic. And I'm not going to lie, it just goes to hell there. and not in a bad way. Like, it's not the game, like, you know, it's just like, it's not a bad game. It's just like, oh God. Like, I hate trying to drive in reverse in real life. And it just, yeah, this was no bueno. And of course, like, you'd have to do like K turns and stuff. And it's just, it can get on you. And then this game also eventually introduces a trailer.
Oh, no. And
so you have to like start. Yeah.
I can't do that, like, for real.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet. It's waiting for me in the game. And it's just like, yeah, you thought the first 50 were tough. I'm next. And it's just like, oh no. I'm not going to lie. When you suggested this game to me, I was just like, oh, what the hell? Like, this is the dumbest thing. But like, I'm not going to lie. This is pretty decently done.
To be fair, we've played
much dumber. It's ridiculous. We have, and it is a slightly ridiculous concept, but it's honestly pretty solid. Like, I never once felt like the game was being cheap. It was always obvious, like, oh, I didn't turn the car hard enough, like, or stuff like that. And it's just, yeah, like, I was surprised. I enjoyed this.
Well, it clocks in at $12.99. There are also two DLC packages available for $3.99 each that include bus driving and big rig driving.
Oh, are
those
God.
Two that you would be interested in playing?
I mean, wait, are you asking if I'd be willing to do the DLC too?
I mean, if they offer it to us.
Oh, I mean, I enjoyed the game, so, and I would have been okay with like a $15 price tag, so $12.99 is fine in my book. The DLC, oh gosh. I mean, yeah, you know what? I'd want to try it out. If you're a masochist, this is an excellent puzzle game.
All right, so officially it's a buy it?
Yeah.
Or a try it?
Yeah. I could see people wanting to try it first. So, I mean, I don't know if there's a demo on Steam or anything like that, but I honestly think it's worth a buy.
All right. Next game, White Day 2, The Flower That Tells Lies, developed by Rootin Studio, published by P-Cube, released August 15th on Series X and S and PS5 for $29.99. Return to Yondu High School and uncover the dark truth that remained hidden in the direct sequel to the Korean horror classic. Investigate bizarre phenomena, evade bloodthirsty killers, and unravel a twisting narrative spread across three unnerving episodes. Aki and Jacob, both of you played this. Aki, start us off. What is White Day 2, The Flower That Tells Lies?
All right. This is a horror stealth game, and you play as a young man who has been convinced to go to this high school by a girl he clearly has a thing for and has been led quite astray by her psychosis. And for this one, you really need to, in my opinion anyways, you really need to have played the first game, because this picks up literally the very next day after the end of the first game.
So this is for returning players only, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a different set of people, but it's still dealing with the same overarching issue, basically.
Gotcha.
So you can start it without playing the first one, but you're going to understand a lot more if you've played the first one. It's going to make a hell of a lot more sense. And yeah, so throughout this school is haunted as shit. And I don't mean like a little bit of like, oh, you turn a corner and you see a head move out of frame. Ooh, spooky. No, I mean, this has, you know, the split face woman in it. And for those of you who don't know ghosts, that's basically a woman with the Joker scars. And if she finds you, she cuts your face open too. So yeah, like the things in this, there are some of them are scary. They just pop out just to go, ooh, spooky, spooky. There's a bunch of them that are like, oh, hey, I see you now. You better run. So, yeah. On top of that, just everyone that's in this building has also lost their fucking minds. So you have to worry about the actual people in the building, too. Thankfully, there's not a bunch of them. But, like, the security guard, for instance, he finds you, he's gonna beat you to death. Why?
I don't know.
He's crazy. That's why. So, whilst you're trying to stop them,
you're getting all crappy voice now. Jacob, can you hear
her? No, I just hear her auto-tuning. I mean, while we wait for Aki to come back, I mean, I could talk about my time with it.
Go for it.
So, yeah, Aki's totally spot on with the whole, like, you know, this is really for returning players, because I had no idea what the heck was going on throughout the whole entire time I was playing it. And so when, you know, like when we asked Joe, like, hey, can you see, like, request this kind of stuff? I'm not going to lie. I was intrigued by this, but I didn't know how well I was going to be able to do in this game. And so I was just like, I don't want to lead. And my suspicion was correct. part of it was that I was just absolutely awful at it, but I'm not going to lie. Like I had some issues with the game's AI and stuff. First off, with stealth,
yeah,
I couldn't hide under tables. Like, was I doing something wrong, or could you just not hide under furniture?
You can't hide under furniture. You hide behind it as best you can.
All right, that's dumb. Okay,
yeah,
like there's just no two ways about it. And like the cops,
that is something that I want to touch on.
The cops, like, and their AI, their ability to detect stuff nearby, like there were times where it felt like the alien in Alien Isolation. And then there were other times that it might as well have been the alien from Aliens Colonel Marines. Like it would either it would hear you fart from 15 miles away, or it wouldn't like hear you if you were right up behind them. And it's just the cops, like there was just no in between. They either were on your ass immediately or just like they might as well have been non-existent. And it was kind of frustrating because I also like played with it like as if like, oh, well, maybe I'm supposed to make it past these cops like for like narrative reasons. And no, it was just. I was frustrated with it.
Did you call it Aliens Colonel Marines?
Yes, yes, he did. Great.
I did.
Colonial.
I preferred Colonel. That was fantastic.
Anyway,
before I went all robotic-y, apparently, I was actually going to touch on the stealth. The thing about this game is you require stealth. However, it's only partially skill-based. A lot of this game is very heavily influenced by luck, which is why I probably have gotten about as far as Jacob has in this game, because I'm very unlucky. Because in this game, if someone starts chasing you, you might as well just reload, because the chances of you actually getting away from them are fucking next to none. The first game, it wasn't as bad. You could get away. It wasn't easy, but you could manage. I've never managed to get away from anything on this one. Once I'm caught, I'm fucked every time. And the thing is, for lots of the people, they're not on an actual set pathway. Like, it's not like, oh, this guard, he walks down this hallway, then walks down that hallway, and then goes upstairs and keeps repeating that until he gets to the top and starts coming down doing that. No. He might decide, I'm going to go on floor one, I'm going to walk down this hallway, down that hallway, then I'm going to walk up to the top floor. Why? Because fuck it, why not? So there's not really a planning around these rat bastards. You just have to hope that they don't hear you. And
Oh, God, there we go again. Aki is auto-tune.
Aki.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have to disconnect and come back again.
Yeah.
Jacob, fill in blanks.
I mean, I don't, like, I pretty much said what I had to say. Like, I did not make it, at least what I think is particularly far in the game. I found it to be a frustrating experience. Like, it seems interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like there's an interesting story there, but I don't know whether I'll ever get to see it unless I watch somebody do a long play on YouTube.
No. You probably won't.
Thank you, Aki, for the vote of confidence.
Well, it's not just that. There's 14 endings to this game.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, have fun.
Well, clock's in at $30. What's your verdict?
I think it's a tentative try it on my end, just because it is so luck-based, and I don't like that aspect of it.
I'm not going to lie. It kind of feels like there's some poor gameplay decisions that were made here, and it really holds back what could be an interesting title. I think you got to have a lot of time and a lot of patience if you're going to play this. I don't know if I would
crouch walk the whole time.
I don't know that I would have picked this up.
All right. Next game, Bloodhound, developed and published by Kruger and Flint Productions, released August 16th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $10.99. Crush the cult of Astaroth and vanquish her hellspawn. Make them squeal and hide where they came from. Enjoy a fresh look and old fun in this arcade horror FPS game inspired by the legends of the 90s. Jacob, what is Bloodhound?
So Bloodhound really wants to fill in that like old school Doom and Duke Nukem gameplay experience, and maybe toss in some Painkiller in there. And pretty much it's set up like an old 90s first person shooter game. You know, here you are battling a ton of demons. You got to get from point A to point B. Like, do you have to pick up key cards? Of course. Are you shooting at, like, demons who then you can pick up weapons and ammo from? Of course. Are you going to be hearing one metal song on repeat throughout most of the game? Oh, yeah. You better that song. Like, oh, man.
Is it generic butt rock? Because I love generic butt rock.
It's generic butt rock.
Sweet. People think that's a joke, too. No, I legitimately love generic butt rock.
So,
like, give me Breaking Benjamin, give me 3 Days Grace, give me Chevelle, generic butt rock, let me have it.
Yeah. Anywho, so pretty much you're fighting these cultists who look like they're out of the KKK, and then there's also these, like, demon babies with wings that start flying around. I don't know if I don't remember what the heck the actual name for them is. Those things are an absolute pain in the ass to shoot at. And honestly, I wish this thing was either some sort of an on-rails shooter or like auto-aiming like old-school Doom, because, my God, trying to hit those things in the air was just an absolute chore. Like, I think I lost more health to those stupid babies than any of the bosses, any horde. It's just like, if you've got like 10 babies after you, like, you're not going to have a good time. But yeah, it does like a lot of like arena fights where like all of a sudden, like, both doors close and like you have to kill everything and then you can move on to the next thing. There is no real story here. Which, I mean, there wasn't a lot of story for old 90s first-person shooters anyway, so that's fine. Honestly, like, it's really just aiming. Aiming's a pain, and the soundtrack, like, good lord, guys, please add more music. Like, that song does not hold as long as it should.
Really just one song?
It really is just one song.
So it's like Stumble Guys.
gosh.
Bringing it like, back to that.
Yeah, like, honestly, though, like, it's not bad. It's a fun retro kickback.
How are the visuals just, like, in the game? Is it like a pixelated look, or is it like a more modern look?
It's a more modern look. There is like some sort of retro filter, but I never messed around with it. It was enough to keep me engaged. Like, it balances most of the things well. It's just there's some tweaks that need to happen with gameplay. And for love of God, get a new song.
All right, well, the game clocks in at $10.99. Your thoughts on that?
I'd be all right with $10.99. It's not a bad price for what you get. And if you're an achievement hunter, this thing doles out achievements like candy.
Nice.
Ooh, nice.
I think there's actually like 100 total, I think. Oh, wow.
Really?
Like, it's... Let me check. It's a lot. Ba-ba-ba.
Do I sound okay now?
Now you do, different? Yeah.
I mean, you okay. Sound
yeah, 100 always. Achievements. Jesus.
Yeah, 100.
Oh, and they're all fucked up values. Oh, God, my God. Yes. 8s and 12s. Oh, my God. Yes, I'm so happy. 16.
You're a fucking monster, Joe, just so you know.
Oh, I'm going to play this game. Oh. There's a 21. Kill the punk at hard difficulty. 21 points.
Yeah, I'm Hell never yeah. going to. I don't think I'm ever going to 1,000 this, but it's fun.
I would lose my fucking mind.
Well, if you're interested in winning a copy, the awesome folks at Kruger and Flint hooked us up with some spare codes, and we'll give one away during the music later on tonight. So stick around in chat and hang out, and you could win yourself a copy later on tonight.
Thimber's asking if I thought that Bloodhound was a difficult game. I didn't think it was particularly difficult in terms of like enemies running at you and stuff like that. If anything, it's really just aiming in the air and making sure that you're hitting the damn babies, like, which is a really weird sentence to say out of context. Like, make sure you shoot those babies carefully. there's nothing good about this, like, talking about this. But they were really the only enemy that ever gave me issues because they're up in the air and they're flying around. And, you know, it's going for, like, mid-90s vibes with like a modern day shooter, and it's just they're just so damn hard to hit. They're such a pain in the ass. So gotcha. Hope that answered your question.
All right, well, we got one final game to talk about tonight, and that is called Mangavania 2, developed by Alexander Nikolaev, published by Sometimes You, released August 21st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $4.99 each. During the adventure, as a young ninja who has gone to the underworld to find a cure for his brother, find spirits in secret places, they will tell you a story or give you advice, explore dungeons, fight monsters, and meet new friends. Jacob, what is Mangavania 2?
So that gameplay description that you just gave, that's more story than I was able to pick up from this game, and it's really just first off, it's called Mangavania, and I thought this was going to be more of a Castlevania kind of game, and it's not. The levels are pretty straightforward, and if anything, it's more Ninja Gaiden kind of gameplay. So, you know, just so you know, that's what you're going to be getting into. And yeah, it's just there are these platforming levels that you're supposed to speed run. You might find some secret areas where you have these like little alien or animal guys. I don't know what they're supposed to be, but like they'll just say like random crap to you, and I guess it's supposed to be backstory, but I don't know if I missed some, and so it's just like whenever they spoke, it never made any like real sense to me in terms of what I was playing. But as you go through, you unlock new abilities, and there's like a hook shot that you can get, which I'm not gonna lie, that was pretty fun to use, but it's a fairly it's a $5. This is a $5 title, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a $5 sometimes, or yeah, it is sometimes you title. And it's just, I don't know, man. It's a budget title. It'll be fun for speedrunners, but I just felt it was very generic. And if you're looking for more out of a title like this, then you're going to be disappointed. But honestly, the gameplay was solid. The music was okay, if not repetitive. I had fun while playing it. It's just, there's not much to it, you know?
Yeah. Well, like you said, it's a $5 game. What's your verdict?
I'd recommend it as a $5 game. Like, if it was $10, I'd be a little more about it. But $5 is fine.
Cool.
I can support that.
Cool beans. Sounds good to me. And that's the end of the episode. We made it through. Did it. Congrats. GG.
Thank you.
GG. GG. What the hell was that?
I clicked on Thimber's link because I was like, what the crap was that? And that was the thing about calling me a millennial leftist.
Oh, that because you are. Yeah. You're a millennial leftist pig.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Music this episode. We are going to play some Stemmage, Rock Until You Drop from Monster Squad. How's that sound?
That sounds fine, I suppose.
You suppose?
Yeah, I guess.
He's a hose, he suppose.
Suppose. It's Grant. You got to be excited for Grant.
I mean, I know you can't see my nipples, but I am.
Oh, well, then that explains everything.
True.
Any final words to end the show?
No?
Really helpful. Aki, well, anything?
No.
Aki didn't say anything either, and then is like crying as she says no. Like, this is bullshit. You're not going to give Aki shit, are you?
I am. Giving her shit right now.
No, you're not. You're barely.
You should see how I'm staring at my monitor right now.
I'm watching the Twitch stream right now.
You want me to stare at the camera instead?
No.
Stare disappointed.
Of course he does. He wants you to stare deep into his eyes.
I'm just disappointed in you, Jacob.
All right. If anybody hears the sound of hot macaroni and cheese slapping, just keep assuming that that's what you're hearing. It's definitely mac and cheese.
I hate this show.
Until your feet